Before we start the show, let's hear from one of our sponsors. Their support keeps this show free for you. Hey there, Peace and Parenting family. If you love the podcast but wish to enjoy it without interruptions, your wish has come true. Introducing the ad-free version of the Peace and Parenting podcast available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. As a subscriber, you'll get all the heartfelt advice, parenting stories, and actionable tips you love without any ads. For less than the cost of a coffee each month, you will enjoy uninterrupted listening while also supporting our work to help you build stronger connections with your kids. Try it out for free. Simply find Peace and Parenting on Apple Podcasts, click try free, and you'll gain immediate access to our ad-free episodes. There's no commitment and you can cancel anytime. So if you're ready for a more peaceful, uninterrupted listening experience, subscribe now. Let's keep focusing on connection without the distractions. Hi, I'm Michelle, a mother of two teens. 13 years ago, I traded in punishments and rewards for connection. Now I prioritize relationship over behaviors, utilize play as a parenting tool, and set limits with empathy instead of consequences. Each week, I share my journey and interview clients, experts, and followers. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I'm Michelle and I'm so glad you're here. And I have a lovely guest on the show today, Beth, who is going to ask a parenting question. But first, introduce yourself to the audience, Beth.
Hi, I'm Michelle. My name is Beth. I'm calling in from British Columbia, Canada. I'm a mom of two girls. They are 3 and 5. And love this opportunity to chat with you. The topic that I have today is really parenting as a single mom. So, you know, how do you really juggle general parenting, but also when you have your own emotions and maybe, you know, your ex-partner's emotions and even just the general public advice or, you know, unsolicited advice on life and so on.
Yeah. It's not easy. It's a big subject, first of all. Let's just say it's a big subject. I can totally relate. I've been divorced since 2019, separated since 2016. So I've had a lot of experience. I have a lot of clients who've gone through divorce. And first and foremost, I think it's really important for us to recognize that our kids will be okay. And that the worst part of divorce is not actually the divorce. It is the conflict between the people that are getting divorced.
Oh no, totally. I think you're right. I think you kind of don't really think of it that way until you're actually in it, right? And you kind of like it's more than just the divorce itself.
Yeah, statistics tell us that kids from divorced families end up recovering quite well and end up being just as well adjusted as kids from two parent families, as long as they're given the support that they need. And I think the one main thing I would say more than anything is keep the conflict away from the kids. Right. Do not engage in the conflict. Do not become part of the conflict. Do not speak badly about your ex. Do not throw them under the bus. Do not inquire about how are things at daddy's house? What did you guys do? What did you say? What did he say? Because it's very easy to get sucked in there, to want to know everything and to really want to get information because you're worried, right? Not from bad places, because you're worried about the kids and what's going on over there and how is he parenting and what's happening on their end. And we can't control any of that. Mm-hmm. We have to let that piece go. And it's very, very challenging.
So how do you navigate that missing out part, right? Because prior to the divorce, you kind of had that 100% involvement, and then now you're maybe missing something big that happened in kindergarten. I come home, you're not there to be,
have to give yourself a lot of grace, and you have to give yourself a lot of space to be sad about that. You get to be sad about that, and you need to surround yourself with people who are going to give you the empathy around that and say, yeah, Beth, that's really hard. Yeah, you did miss out on that. And that was really challenging and difficult. And not to shy away from that pain, because that pain is real. I remember the first time my kids went to their dad's house. My dad was at my house and my ex came and picked them up and they left. And I cried like there was, like I was being murdered, like literally like my heart was being taken out of my body. It was real and palpable for me that I was not able to be part of everything in their life.
Right?
Yeah, it hurts.
Totally. And what are your advice from, you know, parenting for people that go through divorce and kids are at different stages? Like I said, like mine are 3 and 5. And then, you know, some folks are, you know, their kids might be in their teen years. So yeah. Are there any strategies to how to support, how to parent the kids really and help them cope based on where they're at developmentally and so on?
I mean, I think the biggest tool that I think I've used in my divorce is empathy, both for myself and for my kids, regardless of developmental stages. I've really leaned into, because not only are you going to miss out on their things and you need empathy, but they are missing out on some things that are possibly happening at your house, or things have changed, or they want to be in one house and not the other, and they're going to be upset about that. And really like leaning into the empathy around that, saying, oh yeah, I know you really wanted to be at mommy's house this weekend, but you got to go to daddy's. I understand this is really, really, really hard. And not trying to sugarcoat it and not trying to talk them out of their feelings and not trying to pretend everything is okay, and really leaning into the sadness around it and giving them the support. And that builds resilience so that they know hard things can happen to me. My mom's going to be there and support me, and I'm going to be able to recover from those hard things.
For sure.
That's universal for every age.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big thing that I do is feeling comfortable enough to show them emotions.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are like, you can't cry in front of your kids. You got to keep it inside. But I think it's that empathy. It's just showing them that you can have feelings, but then let them talk through it and let them know that you're sad and let them know that you miss their dad and so on. And then they can, you know, kind of voice that as well, right? And I think like that has been a big part of how the girls and I cope. It's just people like, hey, some days mom's frustrated, some days mom's just a little bit overwhelmed, and then some days they're like, actually, you know what, like I want like the four of us to be together. I miss going to the beach like the four of us. So you're right, like making like that empathy, that vulnerability also help the kids cope a lot.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think the most important thing is just to normalize all the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're normal feelings and we're going through a hard time, but we're going to survive and we're going to recoup, and it's okay to have hard moments.
And let's talk about role model, because I think, you know, the Disney Hallmark kind of families, you know, mom and dad are in the household and then we kind of all play our role, right? So when you kind of enter this new world of single parenting, co-parenting and so on, we're all kind of have to shift gear a little bit. And it's also, you know, depending on the relationship, not knowing how the other partner is showing up in their household. And then vice versa, they don't know how we're showing up in our household. So how do we figure out how, that role model perspective, you know, I'm a mom, I can't play that bad role, but we don't know what gap I might need to step in.
I mean, I guess I think you're asking for something that's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you cannot replace, you know, in your case, a 4-person family with a 3-person family. Like, again, trying to make it okay might be, you know, really missing the point. I think it's really okay for it not to be okay, and for that, for your family to look differently, and for people to have feelings around that and to accept those feelings as opposed to trying to fill in the gaps. I think you try to support the emotional emptiness of that gap.
It's hard.
It's really hard. It's not easy, especially if you have in your mind, and I think maybe this is something we have to work on as parents, is if we have in our mind a certain image of what we think is supposed to be or is right or is the norm, and to really question ourselves saying, is that the norm? Is that what's right? Or is it more important to be connected and loving and have a family that can accept whatever comes our way? What's more important to us, our image around that or the way in which we feel inside our family?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy though. We all grew up. The last thing I wanted to do was get divorced. I'm sure you're the same. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Parents were divorced. I didn't want to get divorced, but I have to say there's a beautiful light and there's an incredible way that families reform after divorce. And it is not bad at all. It's great.
Yeah, no, I mean that for sure. I think having kids feel loved, whether it's in the same household or separate household, I think was a big push for me to get here, or not the big push, but like a tipping point, right?
Yeah.
If you don't feel love, and then that's the environment they're going to be growing up, then I don't think it's worth taking that joy away from their childhood.
Yeah.
And if it means that they actually feel happy being in two different households, and you have that joy, and they actually get to experience that giggle and that laugh and whatever in that environment, then let it be. But
yeah. And also, we don't want to model what a marriage looks like the wrong way. You don't want to model it to be cold or to model it to be distressed, because then we're teaching them that that's what a relationship looks like. And so not only are you embracing the joy, but you're also making sure that you're not modeling something that's detrimental. Before we continue, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. Their support lets us keep bringing you the show completely free. What if you spent the next 30 days really focusing on connection with your kids? What do you think sibling rivalry would look like? How would cooperation go? And what would the feeling be in your home? Join my 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you join me and my coach, Martha, and really explore the ideas of connection. We do group coaching for the entire month, and you have access to all of the Peace and Parenting materials. Please join us for a 30-day challenge. Find the link in the show notes. My book, Unpunished, is finally here. It is my journey into connected parenting, the idea of perfection, and how it nearly took me down as a mom. I give you my best thinking around how to be a connected parent, and the insights that I've discovered over the last 12 years of this incredible journey. I'm giving my book away for free, plus shipping and handling. So go to unpunished.com and get yours today. We're shipping domestically and we're also shipping internationally. Okay, back to the episode.
What happens when the kids ask the hard questions?
You tell them the truth for their developmental age. Mommy and daddy weren't getting along, so we got divorced.
Yeah.
We do better in separate houses.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure they don't, the kids want to blame themselves.
Yeah, for sure. Or
we take the blame. It's our fault.
Yeah.
Totally mommy and daddy's fault. We never wanted to do this to you. We're taking full responsibility. I think that's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I definitely question, especially, my 5-year-old, just more observing of things and maybe just having interesting, like just saying like, I hate you or you hate me, or just like in her lash out moment, which, I don't know if I'm tying it to this timeline of how things have been happening or just more of a developmental thing. But for sure, it's that like, I can see her as like, is she blaming herself? And so start questioning that, right? And
yeah,
and try to find a way to have a dialogue. The way I do it, I say, you know how daddy really like ketchup and mom don't?
Yeah,
so exactly. we just don't like the same thing.
That's good. That's fair. And they'll continue to keep asking that question, and your answer will change as they get older.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Pia said to me long ago, I said, do you have any questions about this? Was, a few years into our separation, probably closer to when our divorce was final. I said, do you have any questions about the divorce or anything about mommy and daddy? I feel like we don't really talk about it much. She goes, no, why would I have questions? You and daddy still like each other. And so that was very clear to me. Like it was okay because we weren't fighting.
Yeah.
Everything was okay because we got along. Everything seemed okay because there was no turmoil in her world around it. So it didn't even bother her.
Yeah.
Because we were all seemingly okay. Even though we had our moments where I was like in the shower crying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wouldn't get out of bed when they were at school. And, I wasn't always doing all right. That's for sure. And Chris and I would have our, upsets on the phone with one another. But we kept it from them.
Wow. Well done.
Listen, it's not perfect. There's been moments where I've said the wrong thing and I immediately recognize it. I'm like, oh yeah, that didn't feel good coming from me. And I could tell they were watching me. I've said the wrong thing many times. But if you're mostly doing the right thing, I think that's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, the answer that you got from your kid is probably the best one you can get really in that situation, right?
Yes, we're lucky, but you know, it wasn't all roses. She may have had her perception, but it wasn't, you know, behind closed doors, it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But at the end of the day, I think communication and keeping them out of all the mess.
All the mess. They cannot be in it at all. They don't want to be. And it makes us look bad if we are the conflict starter or promoter. Then they don't end up disliking the person that's doing the wrong thing. They end up actually disliking the person who's calling it out.
Mm-hmm. And how do you... you know, sometimes the kids for us, they'll long for their dad kind of doing X, Y, and Z and knowing that that's not the parenting, the type of parent that he is or the style that he would show love or whatnot. How do you respond to kids in a way that positive, but also, you know, not just saying things about bad about him, right? Like it's factually like he doesn't do X and
right.
You know, how do you...
You just say it. Like, daddy doesn't do X.
Yeah.
I'm sorry he doesn't do that. He has a hard time with that. But we love our daddy.
Okay. Does that not impact them? Yeah.
I'm sure it does impact them. It all impacts them. It's just a matter of, do we want to preserve the relationship that we share with our kids? And is there anything we can do about it? I don't think you can. We can't change our spouse or our ex-spouse. We can't make them be somebody they're not. And we have to recognize, yeah, this is where they're at.
Yeah. I guess the challenge is actually just stop caring for that, for the spouse's well-being as well as the kid's well-being.
I think it's their ex-spouse's responsibility to maintain the relationship with their kids. And really in a married relationship, it's the same. I have a lot of clients who will try to maintain the relationship for their spouse. You know, they will try to, you should do this or you should do that. Or, you know, we're parenting like this and really try to like direct them. But that doesn't work either.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. Everyone's responsible for themselves. But it's not easy because we see our little babies being affected by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very messy parenting. Married or not, by the way.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Married or not. What other questions do you have around divorce or?
I know people talk about like, well, what if you introduce somebody new to the family, right? And that's kind of like the big, like, how do kids navigate that? And, you know, we're not there, but
yeah,
it's always a question of, will you?
Personally, and this is just a personal thing, I try not to do that just because it feels like a lot, unless I'm like going to get married again or something like that, which I don't think I would ever do. I think it's very individual, right? Everybody has their own idea about what they want their life to like look like. And if they want someone in their life and they're really determined to do that, then you would have to be really ginger about, you know, and waiting an appropriate amount of time till you knew that this was an actual viable relationship that you were going to live inside of for a very long time. I would wait until you think that's true before you're introducing people to your kids, because it's hard on them because they become attached to people too.
Mm-hmm.
What if it doesn't work out and then they go through another separation? That would be hard as well. And so I think really being sure about where this relationship is going before you actually bring the kids in. And you can have an adult relationship outside of your kids without bringing them in.
True. Yeah.
You can date, you can have a great time and the kids don't even have to know.
True that. Fair enough.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice that way because it's like, oh, you get to like live in this adult world. It's like kind of like a little fantasy without kids running around.
Whatever that's like, hey?
Yeah.
Exactly. As a mom, not sure what that means.
Yeah. It's kind of lovely. I've done it and it's like, wow, I have like a whole different being, a whole different personality, a whole different persona. It comes out because you aren't a mom. And that isn't between you and it isn't inside your relationship. And you've lived so long inside of a relationship with kids and with a partner who's doing this whole work with you, to just walk away and be able to just have a relationship is like enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, what if your spouse goes and sees somebody and possibly somebody that they may have had an affair with, or, you know, somebody that you don't approve? Like, how, yeah. how do you help your kids? I guess you gotta, as I say that, separate your own emotion versus actual what impacting the kids.
You try, right? You try to like take yourself out of it, but that's so, so hard. You get support. You'd have to get support then. Really get support for yourself, because that would be really difficult. And then really support your kids. They probably have lots of feelings and who knows what they are. And then if they like this other person, are you going to be upset because they like the person? And like, there's a lot of feelings and emotions that go on. And I know a lot of couples who have decided like, we're not going to introduce anybody for, you know, 5 years at least. Like, we're going to give ourselves, there's all kinds of things you and your ex-spouse can talk about if you have a good enough working relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's even in your custody agreement.
Right. I don't know if you touch on this typically, but play therapy.
Play therapy is amazing. We use play in connective parenting. We use play for all kinds of things, but I think play therapy is lovely. I only, though, you know, if the kids want to go and if they like it and if it's not something you have to drag them to.
Okay. What are, yeah, I guess, are there strategies in engaging them, or like, I guess, way of prepping them, or
you can do play therapy yourself, not like to the degree a play therapist would do it, but you can, you know, you can play like, let's play mommy's house. Okay. Let's play daddy's house, or let's play going back and forth, or you can present different scenarios and ask them to play it because they're so little, and you will then see what will come out for them.
Maybe you can like give me a couple of strategies to help the kids, decompress, or, you know, on like transition days or days that they maybe go to a friend's house and see like the mom and dad together, like when their feelings and emotions come up, and maybe at 3 and 5 not, but maybe down the road they're gonna have that. So like strategies to help them express themselves or navigate those emotions and be there for them.
I think vigorous play is really good, like pillow fighting and chase and tag and wrestling and big boisterous physical play, jumping on a trampoline, like all kinds of things where they can get aggression out. And you might see them be really aggressive during this play. And I would not take it personally. And I would let it come and I would let it just rip, because that's probably how they're going to process their feelings at this age. And I would give them lots of opportunities for that, especially, and you're so smart to notice, transition days are really, really hard. And so noticing that those transition days, they'll probably need that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Making them feel safe, you know. Yeah. I think like what you were saying before of just like not to like, well, how is your time with daddy and what do you guys do and this and that, but like wanting to give them that sense of this is a safe space if there's anything you want to say or share, and that like maybe what you witnessed from our relationship, you may feel that, you know, mommy don't like daddy, or I can't talk about daddy in this house or whatever. I don't ever want them to feel that way. You know, I want them to feel kind of like, oh, you know, like I did this at dad's and had a lot of fun, or hey, like dad actually like got mad at me about this, and you know, can you talk to him about it? Like, you know, because you're already not there 100% of the time, but still want them to feel like they have a safe space too.
Yeah. And the more neutral you can come to all that with just neutrality and acceptance, and just listening, the more you'll get. And the more you listen and not talk, the more we get.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm wishing you so much luck in this, and strength and light in this journey of yours. And please know there's a beautiful place on the other side. There really is. And I hope you find it soon.
Thank you, Michelle. Really appreciate this.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us on the Peace and Parenting Podcast, everybody. We will see you next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.